Well, good afternoon. Glad to see everyone's still here and enjoying the warm weather here, the warmer than it is up in the Northeast or the Upper Peninsula where I'm from. Although with global warming, hopefully our winters won't be quite as severe maybe as they once were, although we like the snow too up in the UP. I'm actually here today to talk about some research I've done over in the Northeast, so it's kind of nice to follow Lindsay's talk. One of the reasons we're interested in root respiration and how it might change with warming of soil is because of what happens with individual roots when you look at specific root respiration and kind of run temperature series. Typically, you get this exponential increase. The data here actually shows an exponential increase with temperature with a Q10 of about 2.6. So what happens then if we get these projected increases in temperature in the future? What if our soil goes up, say, 4 to 5 degrees C? Well, then if a Q10 is somewhere between 2 or 3, which is a typical range that it usually falls within, then specific root respiration might go up by as much as 40%, maybe even 70%, depending on what you choose for your Q10 within that range and if it's a 4 or 5 degree C change in temperature. Well, along with that comes some potential implications for the carbon balance of the system. You could actually have positive feedbacks to atmospheric carbon dioxide concentration and thus the climate system, and that's really not a release from the roots of any existing carbon that's stored in the soil or anything like that. That's just some of the photosynthetically fixed carbon being cycled back in respiration back to the atmosphere. But if that's where it's coming from, then that also is a reduction in the amount of carbon that's actually available for biomass production. So there's potential implications there in terms of productivity or health and vigor of the forest and also just possible suitability of that species to continue to persist on that site because its carbon balance no longer may be competitive with some other species that might also exist in the area or might move into the area. So we wanted to look at long-term adjustments, ways the forest might adjust, or the root system might adjust to long-term changes in temperature, long-term increases in temperature. And the objective was to assess the degree to which that root respiration at the ecosystem level might adjust to warming. Again, not just the short term, but a longer term period of time. So the hypothesis was that we would get long-term adjustments in ecosystem root respiration, that actually would occur. And the theory being that it just wouldn't make much sense if they respired themselves essentially to death. There must be some mechanism by which they could adjust. And we had a couple alternatives as to how that might be. And again, we're not talking about short-term acclimation, but after you've kept it warm for a number of years, what might happen. So one possibility was that as the roots die and are replaced periodically, that eventually the tree would start building roots with a lower metabolic capacity, and probably through lower nitrogen concentration. So essentially they would be building a machine that's a smaller machine, but that would then run faster because of the warmer temperatures. So they'd be able to do about the same amount of work in terms of nutrient uptake and processing and transport with lower amounts of amino acids and enzymes that would be turning over quicker because of the warmer temperature. So less capacity, but higher temperature, same amount of work getting done. That was one of our theories. So we'd expect them to see, once an area had been warm for a while, different roots. If we measure their nitrogen concentration and respiration, we'd see something a little different than when they first were warmed. The alternative to that would be that there could be a change in the root biomass of the system as well. To look at those two things, we took advantage of some of the long-term soil warming plots at Harvard Forest. These include the plots that were established in 1991 that were 5 meters by 5 meters, and they actually were finally turned off this past year. The mega plots, the 30 meter by 30 meter plots, were established back in 2003, and there's actually another set of small plots we used as part of this work that were 3 meter by 3 meter plots established in 2006 by Surya Fry. In all of these research areas, the heated plots are 5 degrees C warmer than the control plots, and they're heated with buried resistance cables and buried at 10 centimeters deep, which is actually one of the reasons why we only sample the top 10 centimeters of soil. Since this is a soil science meeting, I'll just mention that we had inceptisol soils. They were stony, fine, sandy loam soils, and kind of a mix of hardwood species growing there. Black oak and red oak and red maple were very common. Depending which of the sites you were at, you also had some striped maple and sugar maple, a little bit of hemlock and American beech as well, and several different types of birch. So we measured fine respiration at 12 different dates between September of 2007 and November of 2009. We would take soil cores to a 10 centimeter depth to try to avoid the wires. Although if you thought you were coring into a thick root, it was best to stop and put your finger down there and make sure it wasn't a fairy wire, because sometimes it was. And we would sort the roots out of the soil sample. We were interested in the most active part of the root system, which was the fine roots less than 1 millimeter in diameter. And we put them in a cuvette to measure their respiration rate. It was attached to an infrared gas analyzer, and we were running an open system. And we used two temperatures, both ambient temperature at whatever the treatment would be, so the control plots would be whatever the soil temperature was that day, and the heated plots would be typically right at 5 degrees C, warmer than that, because their system works quite well. And we also did a reference temperature of 18 degrees C. We measured a sample of roots at 18 degrees C every time we went out there as well. That's to kind of get at the respiratory capacity of the roots to see kind of what the respiration would be at this kind of constant temperature, to see if there's an adjustment among the ecosystems, among the heat treatment. So if there was construction of roots with a lower metabolic capacity, lower root nitrogen concentration, in the heated plots, we'd expect that 18 degrees C reference temperature to always have lower respiration rates for the heated plots than the control plots. And just to maintain those temperatures, the cuvette, the base of it, the bottom 17 centimeters is just an aluminum plug. And a simple method to do it in the field without needing a lot of electricity, we could hang that cuvette base down in a cooler and just add ice cubes or hot water, whatever we had to do to maintain the temperature we desired. It's very easy to maintain a constant temperature and to switch among temperatures quite quickly without needing a lot of electric power out in the field. So here's the first results we got from September 2007. This is the data from the ambient soil temperature. And as you would expect, for the most part, the heated plots have higher respiration rates than the control plots. But what the red bars here are showing you is what you would actually expect to get if you took the rates from the control plots and ramped them up with a Q10 of about 2.5, which is what we've often measured in the field and other experiments for roots of these species. So even though it was warmer on the heated plots, or higher respiration on the heated plots, it wasn't as much higher as we would have expected based on taking the control data and ramping it up with a typical Q10. If we look at that 18 degree reference temperature, now we're seeing that possible indication that these roots have adjusted or been constructed differently, because we're getting lower respiration rates on the heated plots at that reference temperature. Remember, though, we thought this would also be associated with a lower nitrogen concentration in those roots. So if we look at that, that didn't happen. It was the same for both the treatments at all three of the experiments. Again, we're expecting to see a pattern more like this. But since we didn't see that, but we do have that lower respiration rate at the reference temperature, that leads to the fact that we get lower respiration per unit N at a given temperature in roots in the heated soil. So that's possibly a physiological acclimation that we really weren't expecting. And the other possibility, though, is that it could be because the soils are drier. Because when you apply a heating treatment only, you also tend to dry out the soil. And in that September 2007 date, the soils on the heated plot averaged 19% drier than on the heated plots, or 19% drier on the heated plots than on the control plots. So it could be acclimation, or it could just be the drier soils. It's just one point in time, and that's why you all want to run your experiments for additional time. So we have additional measurements from 2008 to 2009 to help separate the possible effects of acclimation in the roots, or is it just drier soils? And when we got this long bit of data, which you're about to see in the next slide, we actually got some very interesting surprises that we really didn't quite expect. So here's what happens across all the different dates. The numbers you see in degrees C, that's the temperatures on the control plots. The heated plots are about 5 degrees C warmer than that on all those dates. And you'll notice that for most of the dates, we had higher respiration rates on the heated plots as you'd expect. But not only were they higher, they were much higher than we would expect even by taking the control plots and ramping them up with the typical Q10 of about 2.5. We're getting more respiration, that more specific respiration on a per gram degree basis. And if we look at the data from all those dates, this is actually that first graph I showed you. Now you actually see what the different treatments are. They all kind of fit along the same line, and if we had had some type of adjustment or acclimation, we were actually expecting the heated plots to have a curve that would be lower. either a different intercept or the elevation would be lower, but a lower kind of temperature response curve. Instead, it's statistically not different, and if anything, it's actually shifted a little bit higher. Exactly the opposite of what we would have expected. And if we look at our reference temperature of 18 degrees C, again, we're, for the most part, seeing higher respiration in the roots from the heated pots, which is not what we were expecting at all. And in fact, average across all of the measurement dates is 17% higher on the heated pots. But if I go back to this one up here, at the actual temperatures, what they were in the field, it's 95% greater on the heated pots. So a possibility now, till we finish up here, is much more carbon being allocated to root respiration in the heated pots. Now, part of the reason we see the higher respiration at the reference temperature in the heated pots in the controls, if you look at this graph, you'll notice most of the blue squares are shifted over to the right. This is nitrogen versus respiration at the reference temperature. So what this is telling you is that the roots in the heated pots had higher percent nitrogen, and they did. They had about 1.26% nitrogen on average, 1.26%, and it was about 1.06% on the control pots. So we had more nitrogen. That was explaining a lot of the extra respiration we're getting from the heated roots, although their respiration per unit was a little bit down. So that 95% difference might have even been greater, might have been 110% difference, something like that, if they had actually had the same respiration per unit N. So the specific respiration rates did not acclimate to warming, and in fact, the heated pots appeared to be making roots with a higher metabolic capacity, higher percent N. So then the question is, what's happening at the ecosystem level? That's the question we originally wanted to try and answer. So is fine root respiratory CO2 efflux 95% greater on an aerial basis? Well, to get at that, we have to look at root biomass as well. So one thing that we have, one set of root biomass data we have that actually corresponds directly to all the samples is the weight of the samples we're actually analyzing as well. We would sort these roots for about 15 minutes and put them in the cuvette, and then we had 15 minutes before we wanted to put the next sample in. So it's a very consistent amount of time of removing roots from these cores. So we don't get all of the roots, but we have a very good relative indicator of the differences in the root biomass among the treatments. And when we look at that, we've typically got 45% less root biomass from the heated pots and the control biomass. And if we actually look at what our colleagues have done in 2008, where they did a detailed sampling of root biomass at the megapots, they actually found 62% less. That's when they sorted to completion. So it's actually even a little more than we found here with the 45% reduction. So we take our specific respiration rates at actual field temperatures and multiply them by these root biomasses, we get this graph, and suddenly that difference in the treatments just tends to disappear. About 8% greater for the heated pots, far less than the 40 to 70% we figured we would get just from ramping up with the Q10, far less than the 95% difference we got with the specific respiration rates. And in fact, if we use the 62% that Jerry Melillo and his group have found, then we actually get a slight decrease actually on the heated pots and the respiration, but they're not statistically significant, they're about the same. So, at the ecosystem level, root respiration did not increase greatly with warmer soils, due to reductions in root biomass. It's surprising that their capacity increased, but the biomass went down. That might have a little bit to do with the N cycling that's changed on the site. They've seen enhanced nitrogen cycling, nitrogen mineralization, and that's been maintained for many years, even after that initial pulse of organic matter went away. They're still seeing a little bit of enhancement in nitrogen mineralization. But the bottom line is they don't have excessive carbon loss going through the root systems, and in this case, the adjustment was done through a reduced root biomass. But now to follow up on Lindsay's talk, what are the possible implications of that, if that's actually how our systems are going to respond, a reduction in root biomass, because it's going to be warmer, wetter, but also drier, and the drier part is a big key thing. Are these now more susceptible to drought? Now, this is just the surface roots in the top 10 centimeters. Eventually, I'm going to get permission, I think, to go deeper than that, and it'll be interesting to see what those deeper roots are, because that could be a really important way to maybe still be able to withstand drought, but not have a lot of excessive carbon loss, because those roots inherently don't have nearly as much respiratory demand. So with that, I'll see if there's time for any questions.